You're listening to the British Baseball Podcast. Hello, baseball family. Welcome into another episode of the British Baseball Podcast. Today, I'm trying a slightly new format where each month, I'm hoping to bring members of different governing bodies together onto one podcast episode to give you like a monthly roundup of what's going on in their leagues, events and fixtures, and then any sort of up and coming activities to give it more of like a fanzine type of feel. So you're getting a lot of news in kind of small doses. So to kick us off, we're joined today by the British Baseball Federation President Tom Thornhill, as we're going to have a quick chat about the latest British Baseball Federation's Our Future release, which I will also try and link in the show notes. Tom, how are we?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for bearing with me while I was having my lunch.
No problem. I hope that I did enough waffling on there for you to be able to get your croissant down your throat and all that comes out your beard. So, Tom, let's kick this off. So what are your hopes that British baseball will look like between now and 2035? And what sort of things do you need to achieve this?
I think what was really important about this doc was it's something that kind of BBF never, from my time, seemed to have had. It's never really seemed to have that kind of direction in terms of what does it actually mean to develop baseball, what does it actually tangibly mean to grow the sport. And these conversations have been having for years with a variety of people, and everyone kind of seems to have different opinions on that. And a lot of what's gone into this is providing direction to our clubs, our federation members, and us as an organization, just simply as volunteers pulling in the same way, how we work with other organizations like Baseball Softball UK. So what the vision in is comes a lot from my perspective, and as myself as a player and a club head, but also input from a variety of organizations, including the official or different areas of the federation, I should say, including the officials, including all of the clubs, and all of us trying to find that middle ground so we can just crack on and do it. I think the single message for me, what I hope for, is that baseball's fun. Baseball is just fun to play on a Sunday. It's that sanctuary for all of us after a long working week. And we continue to push towards that direction and that perspective. Otherwise, what are we doing here? I'm not going for the MLB. I don't know if you are, Matt, and that's what you're striving for. But we can give the potentially give the next generation that opportunity. But we want it to be fun and accessible. So what I hope for in the future, I think that was your question.
Yeah.
Is it has that level of accessibility for all levels of competition, whether that's geographical factors, social factors, but also that what we do is engaging and fun. Traveling 2.5 hours on a Sunday isn't as fun. Playing on a completely grass field isn't as fun. And how are we meant to create a game like this if it isn't fun?
And I suppose all that starts with us as well as individuals. I know there's quite a lot of people out there that are extremely competitive, and I'm not telling them not to be. I think that's the interesting thing within some of the levels that I've seen is it's that nice mix of people that are there for casual fun, like the team that I play for in Manchester in the lower end of it in the Cs. It's where we develop, and it's a developmental baseball league where we're free to make errors and try new things and try different positions. And that's what I'm enjoying. If I wanted to step up to the B team, it's a bit more serious. And is that what I want? And the A is being the more competitive because they're in the higher division, that you're not going to have people that are mucking about in that bit. So yeah, it's nice that there are different levels and different entry levels for people. And I get emails quite a bit of people looking to try for the first time, and I'm trying to engage with them to encourage them to come down and join in for the first time and be a part of it.
What is fun to you?
Oh, now you're asking. For me,
not like in general life. I mean in baseball.
For me in baseball, the fun of it is being around the community, being outdoors in the open and playing a sport that I love, and not emulating what I see on TV, because that's a big stretch. But you kind of live in your own little dream on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And for me, baseball has always been that sport that's different to other sports. It's not you know, where pretty much everyone lives, I can guarantee there's at least 7 football fields and X amount of rugby fields. And how many baseball diamonds? Everything seems to be focused on that. And for people that were never seeking that, like you said before, the sanctuary, it's a way of being involved and included without trying to be part of something you don't feel comfortable in.
There is this element, I think, of the UK of community generation, and we all have that kind of thing. We're British, playing a minority sport, likely all failed cricketers, but it's understanding, and this is what our future tries to do, is understanding what's that vision for 2035 that would allow this sport to be more fun for everyone else, and what's the simplest way for us to get there. And you talking about community, that social aspect of it as well, that's massively hampered by having to, for some people, traveling 2.5 hours for an away game. That's hampered by going down to a club and getting smashed 30-2 because you're not playing a competitive level of game for your individual skill level. And certainly our future in terms of the 4 key pillars of that vision by 2035 is having a National Baseball League with well-established clubs at the top of it, prioritizing clubs over individual short-term success of teams, providing a comprehensive adult participation environment, aka not having to travel 2.5 hours, playing a nice, sensible, competitive game, doing the same thing, crucially, at the youth level as well. And then finally, creating an environment in which domestically grown players have a chance at competing in GB and the GB seniors teams and competing with the US-based players who are British themselves, but at least having our environment, our situation over here, able to compete with competitiveness over there, at least up until 18 years old. And then, you know, the pathway might be send them to college, but don't have all the answers.
So take your BBF hat off for a second. What is it you want to see as just like a player yourself and, you know, being a member of Norwich Baseball Club? What do you want to see?
I think it, for me personally, it's that focus on adult participation. Obviously, I'm playing in the adult sector, and that's where my bread and butter is. I focus much more on that visionary part. But I think in some ways I let it all bleed into one, hence that whole fun argument. And being able to relate to our community and be able to put things that I want forward, being able to talk to other club heads and be able to understand their needs, which are incredibly similar to mine, and then just acting on it. I don't think I can necessarily separate, to be honest. And with, you know, GB baseball and youth participation, to a certain extent, that is much more of a federation perspective. But certainly what we want to achieve adult-wise is purely me as a player turning up on a Wednesday night and playing a game and wanting to have fun, just making that as easy as possible.
So we spoke briefly about, well, you, I should say you touched briefly on youth development. I remember Drew saying in one of the podcast episodes, there was a lack of youth teams, and having youth baseball is vital to the survival of many teams because that's where your pipeline is going to be. Mm-hmm. What's the BBF doing then to try and promote youth baseball and trying to get more youths involved in the sport?
No, I think there's a number of things that we're looking at doing, and our future kind of goes, well, we want to do this. Actually, the best way to do this is through youth. And being a club head and a player as an adult, I feel blindsided is the wrong word, completely blinded in terms of my federation hat on, and because of that club perspective and that adult perspective, youth's so important. And in terms of the holistic health of the game, like it's looking at it, it seems to be in the worst state it's been in a long time, just in terms of our youth club health. There's some fantastic volunteers that are doing so much to prop up the youth side of the federation, but this is the first time that we've run a Super League this year. We are still assessing the viability of the YNBCs, which we desperately want to do. But because we all as club heads have this adult focus, we're forgetting that holistic perspective in terms of how do you create GB domestic athletes? How do you actually have a thriving youth community participation? And that's the whole reason, the whole entire thing's like everyone needs to go in on youth. And there's certain activities that we need to do, and we're still assessing them in order to generate that. Youth's a couple years behind in terms of the adult stuff, in terms of our own internal infrastructure for just addressing it, for running competitions, because not much was run last year at all. we didn't have the infrastructure to run anything federation-wise. So simply just doing something competition-wise for teams to run it is the first port of call this year, as well as bringing the youth community together. Some other things that have happened is obviously the appointment of Charlie as the Little League district administrator. That's not technically our decision. That's Little League is decision to do that for the UK. We've heavily endorsed it. That's a huge point in terms of helping us establish it. But a lot of the stuff that we've done is through the London Legacy, actually, with youth. The first pitch programs that have just been rolled out, we've been heavily campaigning for the activities run by MLB as part of London Legacy to be run next to clubs to create those connections. But fundamentally, the issues that are kind of outlined in regards to youth is more clubs fundamentally doing stuff and focusing on youth and running youth programs and running those competitions. That's our first port of call, and that's what we're going to focus on for a couple of years, just to try and build that up. I think there's only a handful of organizations that run anything youth-wise, whether that's club-related or whether that's specifically they're running a league. So London Sports or LYBL versus Hearts, the Mets, Northampton, Essex. It's trying to do that outside of this confines, and it's not a behavior us as volunteers are used to, because we're so used to, we want to go play on a Sunday, we want to go and have fun, and that level of accessibility. Kids can't do that for themselves. The adults have to run it. And that's much harder to find, especially in the UK environment, and has to be a real sense of focus of how we do that. So,
yeah, that's really good points there. There are some fantastic volunteers, as you said, doing a lot of stuff for youth. Basically, you've got to look at Will doing his T-Rex T-Ball. There's baseball fives trickling around the country. You've got Hearts and you've also got the Hurricanes. But like you said, we just don't hear enough about youth baseball. I mean, there's the London Youth Little League baseball setup as well, which unfortunately I don't know enough about. I'd love to have some members on there to sort of share their stories about how it's set up and run. Could you imagine having sort of Little League pockets in Manchester and Liverpool and up in Scotland and around the country, all these Little League things then that clubs can sort of affiliate with and tap into and say, well, once you hit a certain age, you can go to this place. How can we as members of the British baseball community try and attract kids to play baseball? Because for me, I take my son to training and he loves it because we played it in our back garden and he wanted to take it further. But if said adult like myself all of a sudden stops being involved in baseball, that kid could miss out then. It's not really a sustainable way of doing it, like parent Correct, takes yeah. child.
It's a really hard question. And it's kind of plastering a lot of the problems, or whatever the word is, sticky tape, in terms of you bring one kid along, a 12-year-old, 11-year-old to come play, and it's these isolated pockets that don't actually have lasting behaviours. And there's such a, I don't want to call it a systemic problem, because it's not. It's just British baseball doesn't seem to be, from my perspective, framed in the right way to attract anyone to participate. And what I really noticed doing the and what the development committee as well noticed doing the whole holistic look at our future was how systemic or like holistically the issues are. Like, one massively affects the other. So a lack of coaching then has a lack of effect on coaches to run and develop youth players. Then having less coaches then means less youth players want to turn up, and then less youth players get better, and then X, Y, Z, you have less players for your NBL. It's all linked. It's all interlinked. And how can club members help? I think the biggest thing for us is, part of the first step is sorting the federation's administrative capacity. Us to go and volunteer to run competitions. I know Darren Pugh is running the Super League this year. Massive takes the weight off. We don't have a youth-affiliated clubs league commissioner at the moment. Simply running stuff and running activities at a club level just to start the ball rolling is a start. And one of the things that I think for the key actions for 2023 that we haven't necessarily touched on, but it's just do something, do stuff. And one of the things I've noticed in this role is you can go so far, and it's moderately quite addictive. You can do more in 10 minutes in this role than you could ever really do in a year or two at the club level in terms of what you can kind of really kind of achieve. But that doesn't stop anyone else doing or replicating the same kind of thing. And it's just doing stuff and giving people the environment to go and do things. So, you know, Will doing T-Rex ball, awesome. How can we funnel that into clubs? How can we funnel those things into and create funnels all the way up to the NBL and the GB national team, all the way from that one kid that turns up when he's 5 years old and just wants to hit a ball off a tee? And there aren't these pathways. So to answer your question is just do stuff. Just do whatever you think works, what drives you as a volunteer and what you're incentivized to do, because it will be lasting more, and we'll go from there. The situation in Manchester is so different to the situation in London, for a variety of factors, but it'll all, and that's what's so good about the organization affiliation model, is the federation can then tap in and help support the volunteers on the ground to do that. But just doing stuff is a start. I would like to say that, like, I don't have all the answers for youth. My focus is on the adult stuff, but I know a hell of a lot of people that do. And it's providing them, and see, this is my role, it's providing them the environment to succeed. We both know where we're going. You guys, like Will Linton and all of the club heads for Paul Rance, John Carter, all of them, Sean Briscombe, all of them to provide the environment for them to succeed. And to help them achieve this, and we're all united in the same direction, and I can help where I can. I don't have all the answers for how we're going to do this, but I know passionate volunteers who want to achieve the best for youth baseball possible. Let's let them, let's give them the environment to succeed and do the best for the sport for them as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we're not going to do it justice by only having this as like a 20-minute episode, because we are recording this on our lunch breaks and we are pushed for time. The document itself is really impressive. I think once we put it out there, we should have people have a review and read of it and see if there's anything else people that do want to touch on more, and have that as like a focus point as well for an episode.
It's been out for 6 months, and I'm really keen for it. It's not, the document is not meant to be impressive. It's meant to be a guiding force for, or at least a visionary approach for all of us to focus on, and then we get on with it. What is measured against it is how have we achieved that within the next 10 years. And the intention for the BBF, and to provide it with direction and its members, is to go every year to go, where are we at? What have we done? Did it work? Did it not? Are we going to learn from it? Okay, let's try this next year. And not to take these kind of annual 4 year, 2 year, 1 year approaches. It's, this is what we want to do. We're going to go after it. And every action that we do has to go towards that. We did submit a clarification for it. There was a intention to go for semi-professional league for the NBL. And the intention of the vision for that, one of the four pillars, was not in terms of incentivizing short-term team successes or payment of players. And awesome that we're experimenting with these aspects. The intention of the vision for the Development Committee was to focus on building better clubs, building better long-term club successes rather than short-term success in terms of wins. In terms of, if you're going to have a semi-professional environment, that could be a paid coach that's brought over from America for a season. That could be paid administration or semi-paid or part-time paid administration that helps with the health of the club. Not to pay players to come and play is its primary focus. And if they can play as well, awesome. But their primary focus should be that. And that's a clarification that Dev have proposed to the BBF board to review at the next meeting.
That's really cool. We've got 5 minutes left before we need to dart. we touched in about adult baseball at the beginning, saying that we want to try and reduce travel times and stuff. So that I'm guessing that, well, basically we're going to need more teams. How can we then help grow the sport as people already active in the sport and create new and sustainable teams? I'm guessing it's not going to be a case of, for example, some extreme like me walking away from Manchester Baseball Club and setting up my own team where I'm perfectly happy and feel safe and I'm enjoying it. What sort of avenues are there?
So if we define adult growth as, you know, number of participants actively playing per week kind of thing, then we touched on this in our local league episode, I think, last year. And what's great about our future is it's kind of focused the development committee's mindset and the community's mindset on what's the fastest way to do this in the best way possible. And we're about to go out with a campaign, I think, in the next hopefully 3 or 4 weeks, encouraging spring and fall leagues. And since the Norwich one, where we've grown from, I think, 35, I think we're up to 95 active members now, our club revenues have nearly tripled because of that. That's a well-established club. We've put bullpens in, we put bag cages in, we can afford to do all this now. Imagine if every club did something like this. And the Mets, the London Mets have just started to do this with the Canal League that they've just announced. And it's exactly geared towards the London Mets because they have more people than they know what to do with. And our sport is turning people away. So in terms of, you could go away and start a club in Preston, or you could go and start a club in Burnley. But for us and what we are trying to do, and this is part of the beauty of our future, centralize our thinking, the local league model in terms of helping to not take away clubs from, you know, weekend games. It's not the point. You still go play Liverpool. You still, the B's and the C's of Manchester go still do that. It's helping to engage everyone else around that doesn't always play on Sundays or doesn't make the starting lineup on Sundays, so they can play what positions they want and they get better. So that's going to be the campaign focus from the BBF in the next 3 or 4 weeks for clubs to do this in September and provide help for clubs to do this in September. It's trying to solve a lot of the problems with as few solutions as possible that are the most efficient. Because our volunteer time is very, very fragile. And so we've got to be efficient with it.
Indeed, indeed. Tom, that's brilliant. Anything else you want to touch on before we go?
No, that's perfect. Any questions or anything, please come back to me, Matt.
Your input's very valuable. If anyone has read the document or wants to know more, where can they reach you or ask you questions?
The BBF's email, president@britishbaseball.org.uk.
Brilliant. Tom, really appreciate your time.
Cheers, Matt.
Take care, mate.
Cheers, Matt.